Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Ahoy, mates. Welcome aboard another voyage of Pirate Money Radio, the show that sails against the storms of fiat tyranny, cultural confusion, and counterfeit ideas to chart a course toward liberty, security, and values built on biblical truth. I'm your captain, Kevin Freeman, coming to you from the heart of Texas, joined today by my good friend and co-host, Mike Carter.
Kevin, good to be back on the ship. I've been out for a few weeks, but looking at the topics today, excited about today. We're dealing with, you know, in politics, they talk about those kitchen table issues. You hit a really hot kitchen table topic, I think, today, so I'm excited to talk more about this.
Yeah, we're actually talking about the pantry, which is the new battle space. Food security, food independence, homesteading. Not as some Instagram fantasy of perfect raised beds and sourdough starters, but as practical Christian stewardship. In our recent Economic War Room episode, you remember that one, Mike? Food is energy. That was 409. We showed how tightly modern food production is tied to energy, and fertilizer is made from natural gas, and we have the Strait of Hormuz, and so there's, you know, a little impact on our grocery shelves coming up.
Yeah, and people are definitely feeling it. I went to the grocery store the other day, was picking up some stuff, and what I noticed is I started to buy stuff off the shelf. Usually my wife does it, and I'm so thankful. I realized how much of a service that is. I appreciate that weekly grocery shopping. But everything I pulled off the shelf was $5, $5, $5. I'm like, my gosh, this is adding up in a hurry. And, you know, I looked at the receipt, and it was magically like $5, $5, $5, $5, and a few things in between there. But what's happening? We're seeing the Washington Post did an article. People are paying for it with their credit cards, and a lot of people have done that, but you pay it off at the end of the month. Now people are doing it and saying, I'm just going to let it roll a little bit more. Let's wait and pay that off a little bit later. And we see people starting to pay with revolving debt. That's concerning. That's a table topic that we need to address, and we need to be prepared for.
Well, you understand that. I mean, you did the P&G, and you know what the shelves look like, and they're hitting a $5 because they know that people don't think that's too much, but that's the maximum they can get, and they're reducing the size to fit that $5. Yeah,
they're hitting the $4.97, $4.79, so it's not quite five. And as we've talked before in the show, what consumer product companies do is they have to make sure that they're tailoring the product to what people can afford. So when you see the packages, the boxes, same size, but maybe the packages inside getting smaller, they're driving to a price point that the customer can afford. And that's a scary point to be where we see those packages getting smaller and smaller.
It's hitting young people a lot, too. Young people are used to having, you talked about going to the grocery store. Young people are used to having their groceries delivered. They like them, somebody going shopping for them. And this Bill Maher pointed it out. He said, you know, the $20 burrito is what people are complaining about because they'd show a receipt. I just paid $20 for a burrito. And Bill Maher says, yeah, and you had it delivered by Uber and you ordered it from the fancy burrito. You can still buy a $2 burrito if you go to the grocery. But it is impacting people. And we're not here. We're seeing a serious warning light. And we're not here to stir up panic. Panic's the opposite of faith. We're here to talk about the same kind of preparation that we can do as families to develop resilience. We're talking about how we can look at our food pantry and maybe go back to some old-timey things that that help produce that resilience through a little bit of hard work.
Yeah, I mean, and that's wise. I mean, in Proverbs, as in Proverbs 6, it's go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise without having any chief, officer, or ruler. She prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. So the ant doesn't wait for a crisis. Kind of a weird analogy. I'm not sure I would have picked that, but God knows best. But it's about being prepared. It's not about being fearful.
I've never had ant bread. What is ant bread?
I have a new respect for the Marvel superhero Ant-Man now, I guess. But but anyhow, gather when you can, not out of fear. Have foresight, be prepared. And, you know, we've talked about grid issues. We've talked about supply chain issues. You know, it was back in the late 80s, early 90s. The consumer products industry stepped back and looked at grocery retailers and said, all right, we can help you be more productive. They work on very small margins, 1% to 2%. So something called efficient consumer response was all about just-in-time delivery, not carrying too much inventory, having just enough on hand. That's setting us up today that if anything happens that changes that algorithm, You've seen it before. Grocery shelves are gone. There's no backroom inventory, no backroom stock. Even the warehouses, it's just in time delivered and out to the customer.
And that works great if everything in the supply chain works. But you have a bad harvest, you have a bad storm, you have power outages, you have Strait of Hormuz closed.
Yeah,
things like that.
And energy is food, as you said before. And I think a lot of people aren't connecting those dots.
Yeah. Well, Genesis 2:15 tells us the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. We were given dominion, but it was never permission to exploit and walk away. It was a call to tend and to keep. Now, we used to have a lot of farmers in this nation, and we all had relatives that were farmers. Now, they've just been all gobbled up in these big conglomerates. And so, again, just-in-time inventory, all of these things provide for really a dependence that we have on something that may not be permanently stable.
And my grandpa and grandma, I remember grandma canning, I remember the food, I remember them having extra groceries in the basement, all that kind of stuff. I don't think people are thinking that way today. And I know you're going to hit on something that's pretty personal here, this Trail of Tears. And this is really intriguing to me. Seeds that go back to the original, not genetically modified. These are original seeds that the Cherokee tribe has had a food bank, a seed bank somewhere?
Oh, yeah. So, and we'll cover this next week. I'm going to have Madison, our daughter, come in. Marnie's and my daughter come in and be our guest host next week. Trail of Tears, everybody knows that you've heard this about how the Cherokee Nation was forced out of the East Coast into Oklahoma, which is how my family got to Oklahoma. Well, they carried with them seeds. And they're original heirloom seeds, and they've been growing them continuously since the 1830s and actually before that. And so these are very special things, and they do provide for Cherokee citizens every year. I've got the letter from Chief Hoskin and Deputy Chief Warner right here. When they send me every year, they send me, and you've got some artichoke seeds, they call them sunchoke. You've got corn and tobacco there. I've got a few others here. I've got pumpkin and corn and tobacco on this. I mentioned tobacco twice, didn't I?
The corn's got my attention because, the corn just been genetically modified so much, everything I've seen on that. I'm really curious to see what corn was originally like.
Yeah.
It might be worth trying to grow a stalk.
We're definitely going to grow some and prepare it. And this is about, the Cherokee Nation has done this to preserve our heritage, but I'm suggesting all Americans should do this to preserve the family, right?
Yeah.
And there's so much that comes from learning by growing, planting. My grandparents had a massive garden.
My wife's grandparents did. I remember we tried it as a kid in the 70s. We had a farm field next to us, and we lived in a suburban neighborhood. And someone had the idea, let's create little 10 by 10 plots, and everybody can have their own little garden on this farm field, at the edge of the farm field. I remember planting radishes. I remember putting all the stuff in there. I was so excited. And then I saw the weeds come up, like, this is a lot of work. And then I had to water it. And I'm like, I love the miracle of a grocery store. But that was everybody used to do it. And it looks like we might be getting back to a time where it makes sense to do it again.
It does seem to make sense. And there's a whole movement on homesteading, which we're going to talk about today. So the goal is to develop resilience. If there's a reason where food goes down for a while, to potentially save money, to increase your health, for spiritual growth, and also to strengthen the family. There's something about a family working together. I remember from my grandma, we'd have to snap the beans, and we have to peel the new potatoes, and we have to get everything ready. And nothing tasted better than when we prepared the food grown in her garden. So we want to do all five of those. All are godly. They really give you a break from the world's systems. And it gives you an opportunity to make an impact in your family in a positive way.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll be talking about today. And I like that one, the save money thing. Once you set the garden up, you save money. I'm not sure initially when you're buying all the equipment and everything that you're going to save money. But saving money is important. And there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions to problems that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And Mike, maybe we should be creating Patriot Gardens or Liberty Gardens in our backyard, buy some seeds and see what happens.
It sounds nostalgic, but it kind of sounds cool now. And if, you know, we have new technologies too that make it easier. They got these garden beds that are raised up on tables and all that kind of stuff. So if you're older, you can do that kind of stuff. So I think it's an intriguing idea.
And YouTube videos.
There you are. Yeah.
I remember looking at that garden and like, how do you do this? And now you can get 100 different people that'll tell you how to do it.
The secret to getting rid of weeds. That's what I want.
Yeah. And one of them is Dr. Robert Malone, which is interesting. And we're going to look at something he's written in his Substack on homesteading. Homesteading is a great new way that you can bring fun and adventure to your family, maybe save a little money, and maybe provide some food security. So we're going to cover that and more when we come back right after this break. We'll be right back.
Every day across the globe, big business agendas go unseen by investors. Things that go against your core values and beliefs. It's time to know your investments. Abortion. Alternative lifestyles. Gender and identity confusion. If you believe in protecting marriage and life, children, innocence, guarding masculinity, restoring families, defending religious liberty, invest with your values. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm talking with the great Mike Carter. You're a father I admire. You've got an incredible family. I've watched you and Jane and your family, you know, through the years. And you took on a little property. And you do a little bit of brush hogging and all sorts of things. But right now we're looking at that. That's to keep your property looking nice. Now we're talking about maybe getting some food out of it. Why does this seem so urgent that people are beginning to go back to homesteading?
Well, I think, you know, there's the economic piece, which we talked about a little bit earlier. But, you know, I think there's also the natural food piece. And what am I really getting out there today? There's that whole MAHA movement going on. And you know, maybe there's a chance for the family to say, hey, this is something we can do together. This is something where we can bond together over. Although it's hard to do because, you know, I'm in the air conditioning with my tech and my social media, and it's like, hey, let's go out and do the garden. And I had all these great visions even when I had my land. You know, we got this, and the kids wanted to, oh, let's move here, Dad. And you know, you start to realize that's a lot of work doing this stuff. But if you can be smart about how you do it, if you can be efficient, if you can have the water system set up and so forth, it can also be really rewarding, and you're going to get a better tasting food. You can taste the difference with that homegrown freshness.
You know, it's interesting because Dr. Malone was writing about blueberries and how plump they are now, and they're sweet, but they don't have much flavor. Mm-hmm. And he said they've been genetically modified, I guess. They've been modified in some way, grown so that there'll be lots of sugar, but they don't taste at all like blueberries when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They had a little more tart flavor to them, and they had intense flavor, and they don't have that today.
Yeah. No, and, you know, again, Grandma used to have, she won the canning contest in the state fair. I saw an old article on her back in the early 30s or something like that. So, you know, that heritage, though, of the canning and having food there, and it's natural. It's not full of preservatives. It's healthy. It's not been modified. It's not been hit with all kinds of pick the chemical of the day to get rid of the weeds around it. There's something to be said for having great, healthy food. And if there's a way to do it and bring families together and get them intrigued, I'll be interested when you have Madison next week to see if she's excited about, you know, getting out there in the garden and getting dirty. She's got that polished look. I don't know. We'll have to see what she says on that.
Well, you know, she has actually learns how to do stuff, and then she does it. She does it her way, and it's amazing how good it turns out. But I was looking at this article. You brought it up in the last segment about more Americans are buying groceries on credit, and that's in the Washington Post. That's a little scary. It says 1 in 3 working-age adults used credit cards to buy groceries, and many of them had trouble paying them off. Now, I'll use credit cards to buy groceries because you go into an Aldi or something, and it's just tap to pay, and you're done. But then you want to pay it off at the end of the month. Yeah. If you're eating your line of credit, you'll go through it pretty fast.
Yeah. You know, the buy now, pay later. I remember seeing that for things like, oh, you want to buy this jewelry for your girlfriend, or you want to buy something on credit. That makes sense. But my hamburger, I don't know. And you look at what's changing in payment systems today, Kevin. We're seeing this as we look at transactional gold and what's going on there. People no longer get paid. A lot of people no longer want to get paid every other week or once a month. They want to get paid by the day now. And so payment systems are changing where, okay, I need my money today. I want to be paid today. And that's setting up, that's either saying, okay, this wealth gap is getting bigger and bigger, but they're setting up a problem to say, do they really need that money today? Are they that day-to-day living?
As an economist, that's a red warning light. It's something you're really scared of when you see people, I need to get paid today. That's a day laborer. Right.
Yeah.
That's not building a great society. That is having day laborers that show up and, all right, you and you and you come work with me. That is not a healthy sign for the. And here's another unhealthy sign for the economy is that we have gone so far the other direction that we've ended up with a very big farm system that doesn't have any little guys in it. And in fact, local zoning restrictions are telling people, oh, you can't grow your own food. That's making us dependent on a big system. It seems very communist to me.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the Midwest, some of the most beautiful farmland you can imagine. And you can see what's happened where you can, you know, farms used to be 40 acres and you can see the farmhouses and you can see these great traditional old barns that are dilapidated, but massive timbers and stuff. And it's all sitting there unused because corporations have bought farm after farm and farm. They've assembled it, and now they're farming, you know, thousands of acres, Del Monte and so forth. And you still have very successful independent farmers, but it's
concerning. Creating a massive dependence on a vulnerable chain, and it's something that we as Americans need to address. And we'll talk about how you address it when we come back right after this break. We'll be right back.
Gold holds its value far better than the US dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in this sweet shop and pay with gold.
Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but this is, I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not, using
really?
This. Using this. That's my MasterCard, and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking about food production. And when I was a kid, when you were a kid, Mike, we a lot of people grew their own food or had a meaningful input to their food. Then it became that it was just a little fashionable thing that you could do, and you might get 2 carrots a year or something. And now it's just like nobody even thinks in those terms. Food is something when you open up your Uber Eats app and click on something, food shows up. That's how you get the $20 burrito.
Yeah, yeah. And it used to be food was, I remember my uncle, he had a big garden. And we got the green beans from the garden. It's like, oh, these are the good beans. Yeah. These are the good carrots. And that's what's interesting about what Robert Malone put together in his article, Homesteading. We all need to become farmers again. He writes that every suburban yard, urban plot, small acreage can contribute. Victory gardens, you know, that term. I drove, as I was driving to the studio today, I drove past a mall. It was called Victory Mall. I'm like, huh, is that where we've gone to? Instead of a victory garden, well, let's go to the Victory Mall and I'll just pick up my food. But victory gardens, kitchen gardens, community plots that all serve the same purpose. And he goes on, you don't have to serve the whole family from day one, but just start producing something that actually ends up on the table. And that kind of changes your perspective of how you see the grocery store, moves you from a pure consumer to a partial consumer. And let's say something does happen. Wouldn't it be wonderful to say, well, you know, things have gotten really bad. It looks like it's going to be bad for the next week or two. But, you know, I've got some things here I can pull out of the ground. There's something here that we can live off of.
Or as a community. I mean, one of the reasons people say that nobody's going to ever invade the United States is we have a Second Amendment. And so every family has some resilience in the form of a firearm. And yeah, you don't want to be going door to door in Texas because they've got a firearm. Well, what about food resilience? What if they said, let's not even bother attacking America's food chain because everybody's growing their own food? So I remember as a kid, the funny TV show was Green Acres and how they laughed at the guy who wanted to go back to nature and grow food and so forth. Oliver Wendell Douglas, the lawyer, and they laughed at him for wanting to do that. But now it's actually becoming a thing. And when you've got Robert Malone writing, I mean, this guy's a doctor that was involved in the creation of the mRNA. He apologizes for that, by the way. But he's a kind of a hero doctor from the pandemic. He's writing Homesteading for Health, One Family Farm Family's Guide to Food, Land, and Self-Sufficiency. And he writes it, Dr. Robert Malone with Dr. Jill Malone, his wife. Yeah. They're both doctors.
Well, you know, and that idea of how do you start simple and which he's talking about, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, but, you know, you've got, you know, designer stores out now selling these garden tables, ways that you can start to do things. You can have, I mean, you could start with a tomato plant in a pot, right? And those tomatoes, I guarantee you, are going to taste better than the tomatoes you'll be able to buy at the grocery store out there. So just starting with some of these small things, things that are easy to grow, the leafy greens, you can, you know, cut them multiple times. You get the herbs. Jane's got a little herb garden that she works out there. Zucchini, squash, zucchini bread. I kind of like the zucchini bread. So if you don't like the raw, you don't like the maybe the raw vegetable, some of the output of that can be fantastic. You can add, you know, compost bin for scraps. It was a free fertilizer instead of trash. I'd rather have some free fertilizer from compost than the latest chemical from your big corporation out there.
Yeah, it really is a return to nature in a lot of ways. It's become a popular thing. And I think that's really important is if you take a biblical perspective and God created this whole process of growing food. It's something really about it that hits the soul in a powerful way. And then you apply some of the modern knowledge that we have. And like I said, you can get YouTube videos that'll teach you about canning and mason jars and dehydrators and fermentation and all of those things. I think this is a way that we can build resilience and maybe start with a year one garden where you're just growing some tomato plants or some green beans or some herbs or lettuce or whatever. I think we can build something great in America that will actually heal our soul at the same time providing good food for
our
bodies.
It's amazing what nature can do out there. So I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, preservation, there's a multiplier to that work. Mason jars, we have freezers, which are great, dehydrators, simple ways to have winter meals from what we do out there. This is all common two generations ago. And Proverbs 27 tells us the condition of our flocks, give attention to our herds, for riches do not last forever. That simple principle applies to the garden and the pantry. And that's about consistency and attention more than perfection. You don't have to do it all at once. This is something that can be an easy next step for folks.
Amen. And, you know, the Lord talked about, we want to get back to the Garden of Eden. I mean, that's what we'd like to get. Oh, get back to perfection. Perfection was a garden that we were tending and taking care of. Look at Genesis 2:15. That is God's prescription for actually bliss and happiness. We're going to cover more of this when we come back right after this break.
Some wireless companies say that they stand for something. What exactly do they stand for, and why won't they say it out loud? Let me tell you what Patriot Mobile stands for. They stand for the lives of the unborn. They stand for the Second Amendment and the right to protect yourself and your family. They stand for our veterans and first responders who sacrifice so much for our freedom. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile today and support a company that doesn't just say they stand for something, but one that stands for the things that matter the most.
Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
All right, Mike, we've been hinting around at it about growing a garden. Let's get specific. What does a realistic first-year path actually look like, and how does the local food layer fit in it?
You know, we got a graphic up right now. Start here, your year one garden. That one looks manageable to me, even if it's 106 degrees outside like it is today. It's about a 4x4 wood square with dirt compost in it. And it looks like we got some tomatoes, tomato plants. Like I said, those are the easy ones to do. And you can definitely taste the difference with that. The lettuce leafy green, you know, there's been that lettuce scare out there. Wouldn't it be nice to say, I don't have to worry about that. I'm just going to pull some fresh lettuce out of my yard here. The basil and herbs, green beans on a trellis or bush. But that's manageable. And I can even weed that pretty easily. And I can water that easily. But that, I think people would be surprised at the economic output, the production output of something even as small as that.
Yeah. All right. So whether a suburban or small lot, you start with the soil you have, simply amend it with compost. Then you add one or two raised beds, like you were talking, in large containers to get at least 6 hours of sun. Prioritize crops that give high return for the space and effort. Salad greens you can cut multiple times. Herbs that transform ordinary meals. Maybe some cherry tomatoes or bush beans, zucchini, summer squash. You keep it in a simple compost system going, so you learn to water it consistently rather than perfectly. That alone will teach you more than a dozen books. And Robert Malone said the fundamentals are straightforward, and once learned, they tend to stick. You learn this, and you're like, oh, that worked. That didn't work.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing. You can put it at the edge of your lot. So you got to check your local rules. Many towns allow small flocks like chickens and things, or gardening in certain ways. The key is starting with what the rules allow and your time allows, and you don't try to build the perfect homestead in year one. You build just the next step.
Yeah. You know, chickens are intriguing, but they're a little more work than they appear to be. I've seen that with some of my neighbors, but, you know, we have Van here. He's mastered it.
Yeah, no, we get the Fitzgerald Farms the chicken eggs that we get.
He built a chicken house that most people would like to live in, but and the eggs
Mahal.
Are fantastic.
That's right. They are great.
But you get to some of the bigger properties, you know, where the ranch out here is a more rural area. There's things that we can be doing on a little bit larger scale if we want to take that one on when the timing is right. You know, you got a little more space. You can do rotational ideas. You got a lot of preservation capacity, seed saving. I'm intrigued to really try. I really want to try that Cherokee corn because getting back to the original corn just sounds intriguing to me.
My guys that own the cigar shop want me to plant the tobacco.
I can see that.
I thought in the zombie apocalypse, I could trade tobacco seeds for something. That's why I've never smoked in my life. But I thought, well, maybe. And although tobacco is considered very medicinal to the Cherokee people, and apparently unadulterated tobacco has some value to it that I'll have to research that forward. But
any idea on, you know, the type of usage or uptake that, you know, the Cherokee people are using this right now?
Well, we actually did a Cherokee garden at the Cherokee Community of North Texas, and I was a speaker at the time, which now it's called the chair. We've gotten so sophisticated. We were the speaker and the deputy speaker, and now it's, you know, the chair of the board because we have a board of directors
for
nonprofits.
The chair for Cherokee. It's a little branding thing there.
I'm the chair emeritus of the board. But yeah, we built a garden and these seeds great. They work great. They grow beautifully. They don't need a whole lot of extra fertilizer or support or whatever. You know, now we've got the seeds that the big corporation has that are resilient to Roundup and things like that. Monsanto produces them. But those are like copywritten, or what's the term that you use? Use for that
genetically modified, patented stuff.
You're not allowed to use those unless you have the license right to them. These Cherokee seeds and a lot of good seeds, you don't have that problem. They're ancient and they're valuable.
Well, you know, Epic Times had a story on the freedom movement the other day. People seeking direct relationships with regenerative farms, raw milk where it's legal, pasteurized meat, eggs. the ability for small producers to sell. You know, we have farmers markets. I mean, that's another easy next step. Where you can go to Frisco or Keller in the suburbs around here. And there's actually a farmer's market where the farmers that are coming out doing this stuff bring it to you. And that's a whole nother source.
I would suggest, as the economist, I would suggest go and overpay for farmer's market produce. Get to know, have conversations, get to know those people. If it's a front and they're just, you know, running around doing that as a front to sell grocery store vegetables, figure it out. But find the real genuine farmers, build a relationship, actually have dinner with them or something. Take them out to dinner, because that is a form of resilience too.
Yeah.
You'll get access to the good vegetables. You'll learn growing techniques. Having a relationship with a farmer is a very good thing.
It is. It is. And I think that's a genius idea and an easy way to do it. I mean, you can go to those farmers markets and find the foods that so forth that you like best, or maybe someone you can connect with. And that starts the whole relationship.
And you can share the gospel. If they're Christians, then you can fellowship with them. If they're not, you can share the gospel with them. It's a great opportunity to build a relationship with somebody that's not just typing on a computer all day for a living.
You never know what's going to happen. So a little one-off story. It's not in the research here. I got a goat today.
You what?
I got a goat today.
You got a goat today?
Yeah. Not the greatest of all time. Physically, I wake up and I look out and there's a goat on the retaining wall. And I'm like,
Better than the bobcat on the retaining wall we saw here a couple of weeks ago.
So no, my daughter, it's probably all on her because she's been playing. The goats came to kind of clean out some brush that the neighbor had. And she said, oh, this is awesome, Dad. I was praying that God would bring some animals here.
So this is a wild feral goat. This is not a domesticated goat that wandered off.
It is a domesticated goat that wandered off. So the goats that came to clear the land, the farmer came and took those, but this one ran off. And the farmer's like, yeah. So I called the neighbor, said, there's a goat. He goes, oh, yeah, do you want the goat? I was like, oh, I don't know if I want the goat, but I don't want to leave it there. And he was like, well, the farmer that had it said, yeah, take it. It's your goat. You eat it. Do whatever you want with it. I'm not messing with it. I'm not eating it. Believe me, I'm not eating it. And my daughter would be horrified. But anyhow, we have a baby goat that's growing that's on its own right now that's wandering the land. It's eating the grass.
You can get some goat's milk out of this. Goat's milk is good stuff. It's like good for those that have allergies.
I don't think I'm going that far, but it was just one of those things. You wake up, you do a little, yeah.
Hey, well, check to make sure it's a female before you go for the milk.
Yeah, good point. All right, enough off the track there. But I woke up in the morning, a little prayer time, and I look like, there's literally a goat out there by itself looking at me on this retaining wall. I'm like, what's that mean? So maybe that's a sign.
This is hitting home right here, homesteading right here. So maybe you need to pray and say, God, send me a goat or a chicken or whatever I need, what you want to do.
I'm going to change Christiana's prayers from sending me a goat to something else. let's think a little bigger. Not an animal.
maybe not. Yeah, right. So, stewardship at the household level actually strengthens America. Think about that. Robert Malone is calling for everyone to become not a full-time farmer, but the way our grandparents were, or great-grandparents for a lot of our listeners. We need to stop thinking of food production as something only professionals do. Every yard can contribute something. Every kitchen can learn one preservation skill. Every family can support one local producer, and maybe a family can adopt one goat.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen to the goat, but anyhow, it looks like more work than chickens, but maybe not. So, you know, that stewardship at the household level is really what creates the bigger picture here. And Malone's calling not us all to become full-time farmers, but that we stop thinking about as food production. Let's just let somebody else do it. It's so easy. Well, let's let Whataburger do it. Let's let this person do it. And we're eating food that's not.
That's how it gets unhealthy. That's how it gets problematic. That's how, you know, and there's nothing wrong with big food companies unless they're the monopoly and there's no alternative.
Yeah.
Economists always believe in competition. And one way to get competition, you want better food produced by large farms, produce good food at small farms, and they'll have to keep up.
Yeah.
And if they realize there's a premium, that's how they got into organic. They realized the little guy was doing the organic, and all of a sudden, now they're doing organic.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
But you can have a tiny lot. This is the encouraging part, because in Texas, you know, we got all these master plan developments. You can have a tiny lot and still have your food garden and get healthy food, and it's something there just as a backup or something. Say, hey, let's treat myself to something that's a little more wholesome today.
Yep. All right. So here's the year one homestead ladder. Containers, number one. Raised beds, number two. Compost, number three. Hens, getting some chickens, number four. Preservation, canning and so forth, number five. And saving your seeds, number six. Those are small steps everyone can do. All right. Speaking of small steps, you can do that with your money, too. And support for this program comes from Glint, a financial technology service offering a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access gold holdings, their gold holdings, for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app, available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending, and it's a small way to start a gold holding. All right, we'll be talking more about food when we come back right after this break. We'll be right back.
I'm outside Babes, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is gonna be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I gonna fit all this in? I seriously actually don't know how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming. Do you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know, you may have to ask the cashier, I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm gonna pay with this, but I'm gonna pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babes, yeah? How much gold did I pay, gold? How many grams?
0.26.
0.26, quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Success! Bought with gold, paid with Glint.
Some wireless companies say that they stand for something. What exactly do they stand for, and why won't they say it out loud? Let me tell you what Patriot Mobile stands for. They stand for the lives of the unborn. They stand for the Second Amendment and the right to protect yourself and your family. They stand for our veterans and first responders who sacrifice so much for our freedom. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile today and support a company that doesn't just say they stand for something, but one that stands for the things that matter the most.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking about starting your own victory garden or patriot garden or just getting the family into a project together. So bottom line for the family at the kitchen table, what are the practical first steps we could be doing here, Mike?
Well, my first question as I started thinking about this garden, can you grow cookies in a garden?
No.
Because, you know, I do like those. But all right, well, we can it's the audit the pantry. I'm like, there's the cookies part, though. All right, let's look at the weekly grocery list. Identify five items you can realistically grow, source more locally in the next 12 months. You start with one bed or three large containers this fall or spring. I'd probably recommend this fall because it's nice to do. Spring gets hot quick here in Texas. Depending on where you live out there, fall is a great time to grow things. Look at the season that fits your zone best. But keep it simple. Learn the preservation skill, water bath canning tomatoes or pickles in a classic low-risk entry point. Freezing is even simpler for many people. That's probably the route that I would go. Find the local farm, the farmer's market, some of those ideas we talked about earlier. But talk it around the table with your family. What would the kids like to see grown? You know, what would they like to grow? Because the food that you grow is the one you get most excited about. I remember as a kid, I grew watermelon. And it was in the backyard. And I would go out there and water it. And I saw this little plant. And then one day I went out there and there's a giant watermelon there. And it was the best watermelon I ever had in my life. It wasn't until 40 years later, mom and dad told me that I didn't actually grow the watermelon. They put it there after that. So do things like that to get your kids inspired. And even they'll know that if your parents do something like that, it's because they loved you.
Yeah. All right, the cost does not have to be high. Cardboard and free mulch for sheet mulching, kitchen scraps for compost, seeds from exchanges or saved from previous seasons, used jars, you can reuse them. The bigger investment is attention and consistency over time. 1 Timothy 5:8 is not only about money, it's about providing, and providing for your household includes the quiet work of preparation. You do not need a perfect setup. You need a starting point and the willingness to stay with it.
Willingness to stay with it. That's the key. So, you know, we went through all the first steps. Genesis 8:22 is foundational. After the flood, God makes a promise. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. He's saying the cycle he built in creation still holds. Our job is to participate in that.
Yeah. All right. And Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, said to them, be fruitful and multiply. I mean, there's something to this biblically, where we're connected to the soil, we're connected to, I mean, we came from the soil. God created man from the soil, if you believe the Bible. And there's something connection about growing something in the ground. Genesis 1:28, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That's our opportunity here. That's an invitation.
Yeah, yeah. And we start this season, right? Can start now. Get it done. I think there's some more Bible verses that that you pulled up here. It was Galatians 6. Let's see again. And Paul picks up from on the 8:20. Whatever one sows, one that he will also reap. And let us not now grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. The due season language is important. You plant one season and you wait. Faithfulness includes patience. We all learn patience, but I think that's a key part there. Is, you know, don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up. And you also need to sow generously. 2 Corinthians 9:6, whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. This isn't a prosperity form. It's a stewardship principle. This is an opportunity for you to sow into your family. Yes, it may cost a little more initially. You can't look at it from a pure economic standpoint and say, well, you know, I hope you're enjoying that $5 cucumber I grew for you, or $50 cucumber or whatever. You learn the principles, you're literally paying it forward into families for the future.
Yeah, yeah. And for the days when it feels hard, Psalm 126 is a gift. For those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Sometimes the work of preparation feels slow or costly. God sees it, and he multiplies it. And, you know, that's so much about the great part where we live kind of in the country. The city's coming in around us.
Yeah.
You see God's miracles every day. You see the birds. You see the things that are happening, and you realize There's God's way bigger than anything that's going on in the world today.
Make it a part of our prayer lives. I like this. I put it in the show note. And here's a prayer. Lord, I'm going to put some seed in the ground this year with my time, my yard, my kitchen, my kids, and I'm trusting you for the harvest.
I like that.
That's an opportunity for you to learn trust in God to see the miracle. Because look at this. I mean, in this, There are a bunch of little seeds that can grow a massive amount of tomatoes. There's so much to be learned from that, from the Spirit of God, from the truth of God, from the Word of God. Seed time and harvest, faithfulness in the little things. God is Lord of all of that. All right, we're going to take another break, but we'll be right back and we'll come cover more.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we say give, spend. We also could say plant and harvest and eat.
Amen.
Mike, thanks for walking through this with us. The pantry is becoming a strategic space. We're just starting on this, and we're going to have to cover more of this, not out of fear, but out of faithfulness and good stewardship. I mean, this is something that Christian families ought to be doing because it's biblical, but it also strengthens our country.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's easyful. Anyone can take that first step, start small, stay consistent, build from there. God multiplies what we place in his hands. So it's kind of a fun project. If you have the young kids, planting, letting them see something grow, the miracle of God's creation there, and then being able to harvest and see the production from that, those are great life lessons.
And there's a big pirate money connection here. I mean, we talk about the reason for pirate money is it's real. Mm-hmm. It's tangible. You can weigh it and measure it. And God hates dishonest weights and measures, but he loves honest weights and measures. But in the Bible, it's not just about gold and silver. It applies to our food that comes to our table, right? Mm-hmm. So much oil, so much. It's all done by weight and measure.
Yeah. And if you're starving, what's worth more?
The food.
Yep.
You can't eat gold.
Exactly.
When the monetary system loses value, groceries get more expensive. Building resilience in the pantry is the same spirit as building resilience with sound money, stewardship, independence, and values that hold when the system is stressed.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I'm ready to go out and start that little 4x4 garden. Looked kind of appealing to me. I've got a lot of acreage, but it feels overwhelming. Sometimes those fences create freedom. And I think the genius of this idea is you start with something small and you say, hey, I can manage this. I'm successful. And then you start to reap the rewards of that production. And you say, I'm going to make it a little bit bigger. I'm going to find a way. I might not be able to grow cookies, but I can probably find some other fruits or things that I like. I'm like, I'm going to try this next.
Yeah, well, maybe you can grow some wheat and eventually turn it into cookies. I don't know. Let me see you grow chocolate chips. That's what I'd be impressed. All right. But rising grocery bills make this, you know, a little more practical than it was. It doesn't change anything in this respect. From a spiritual standpoint, learning to grow something, seed time and harvest, teaches us about God, draws a family together. It builds resilience. I've got a great book here from Robert Dee's Resilience, God's Style. It's an opportunity for us to build our family together, build resilience, but for a nation that grows its own food, that is a major difference, differentiator in the world. You want to see America last another 250 years, start canning some food.
Yeah.
And that will be your small step. Never despise the day of small beginnings. And combined, all of us doing little steps together. So I think one of the most practical things was go start at the farmer's market. Maybe find Saturday morning, get the family up, go out there, take the dog and go to the farmer's market. Check out the fruits and vegetables grown in your area. Find the real farmers, build a relationship, and then start gardening.
Yeah,
it's not that hard.
Yeah, and ask the farmers how we can do it. They know the dirts, they know the weather patterns, they know how to grow things. They can give you the tips on best timing to do those types of activities out there.
And you can go back next week and say, hey, this is what, I mean, think of it as almost a mentoring relationship. That's why I say just overpay a little bit for the vegetables. And it's like, well, it's $5 for that. And you say, well, I'm going to give you 10 because I really appreciate what you're doing. I hope you'll come back next week. Build a relationship with people who know how to grow food. That's a very smart thing to do.
Yeah. And an easy, practical way to do it. I think you're right. That is the big idea because, you know, it's going to take me a little while to get my garden growing. But it takes me getting out of bed next Saturday and going to the farmer's market and getting started.
I took the family, I had a birthday recently, took the family, we all went out to dinner, and then we went out to the movie. And the combined for the six of us was at least $400. And I'm like, I could have dropped that for, now people will complain, I spent $400 building a garden. And it's like, that's nothing, man. Yeah. I mean, you'll drop that in an afternoon. The entertainment, the value it'll bring to your family is overwhelmingly beneficial. So this is an opportunity for stewardship over fear, to have resilience in the pantry, resilience with sound money, honest weights and measures, faithful provision. It's an opportunity for all of us to grow together as families and communities and make America a lot stronger.
Yeah, yeah. And one little trade secret, I was able to buy cookies at the farmer's market.
All right. All right. If you're watching on Real Life Network, hey, I just want to say until next time, stay faithful, stay free. But if you're listening on AFR or to one of our podcasts, stay tuned. We've got one more segment, and we'll be right back for you after the break. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore.
And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Right, Mike. Mike, the new owner of a goat. Any final word before we close?
No, I look at the graphic we got up there. Hope with dirt under its fingernails. It's sometimes good to feel a little bit dirty with the earth out there. You feel productive. I'll be doing out, working on some of the acreage out there, and you can see the production of what you've done and what you've accomplished. Sometimes the idea is we work here. You're working, and you're like, well, what's it really producing? Here you can actually see the fruits of your work and your labor. And I think that's such an important lesson for our kids especially to learn. Say, okay, this is actually what you're building and producing out there.
Yeah, no, it gets back to really basic things in the scripture and the idea that God gave us seed time and harvest. He gave us seeds. Seeds are, a perfect example. Like these tobacco seeds that I've got from the Cherokee Nation, they are so tiny. And yet they can grow. It's the energy packed into one tiny seed shows the power of who God is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the miracle of God and the miracle of, what that water does. That's the equivalent to, may you never thirst in the Bible. If you got the spiritual gifting there and the Lord in you, water, what that does to grow things. It's a great circle of life lesson for every family out there.
Yeah. All right. So next week we're going to cover, Mike, you pointed out, we're going to have a special guest host. Marnie's and our daughter, Madison, and we're going to go deeper into cultural and agricultural resilience, including my Cherokee heritage that brought the heirloom seeds, carefully preserved and shared, seeds that I can receive every year as a citizen. They have a lottery now. They're so popular, you have to win the lottery to get the seeds, but a lot of citizens do. And that story, it's pure living history. It's a powerful example of stewardship under pressure. It ties everything we're talking about here today, Mike, to a real people who refuse to let the seed die. And they refuse to let their heritage die, despite the trail of tears and everything else.
Well, I can't wait till you have Madison on next week, and I want to see the dirt under her fingernails. I'd like that graphic up there this production
at home.
She has
no problem. I've known her whole life. She has no problem getting dirt under the fingers. Now, she will quickly afterwards schedule the manicurist appointment.
It's going to cost you a lot of money, isn't it?
Cleaned out. she's a remarkable. I'm so proud of her. Marnie and I are so proud of her. She's a remarkable adult lady now. I mean, it's phenomenal. That's the other thing to watch the kids grow. Yeah. That is another miracle of God that we take for granted too often. And now someday we'll talk about the designer babies and going on. Don't do that. That just sounds just disgusting. All right. If this episode stirred anything in you, write us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. We read every note that's sent to us. And I want to close with a prayer. Father, we thank you for your provision, the wisdom to steward it well. You're the God who fed Israel with manna and who taught Joseph to store grain in the years of abundance. Teach us the same wisdom. Give us the strength for the quiet work of tending what you have placed in our hands. Protect our farmers and our food systems. Strengthen our families who are seeking greater independence. Give wisdom to our leaders. Bring peace to Israel. Care for our veterans and restore a love of truth and honest dealing in our land. In Jesus' name, amen. You can find Pirate Money Radio on all the major podcast platforms and piratemoneyradio.com. Supporting materials, full economic war room library are there as well. This is Kevin and Mike Carter for Pirate Money Radio.
Arr.